John Lewenden, Reel 32.
Right, so we were, you
I
were
running. I just got back and I seen Frank, didn't I?
Now, Frank Reynolds, could you just talk a little bit about him?
Oh, Frank, yeah.
He was somebody off the tape, you mentioned he was one of the first ones, like yourself.
Oh, yes, Frank.
And what was he in?
He was in the Beds and Hearts.
Yes, but what was he in within the DLI at this stage?
Oh, he's a signal, in the signal platoon.
So you met Frank Reynolds, then what happened?
Well, I didn't meet Frank Reynolds until... First time I met Frank Reynolds was when... at the... in Beds and Hearts, in Kempton Barracks, when Thomason came down and we did a drill card prior to going to Edinburgh. And, we were being transferred. And all of us, I'm talking about, and that includes all the George Broadhead and all the rest of them, everybody, all in this drill car. And Frank was one of them. Taffy Jones was another one. And, all of us. And that's where I first met Frank.
And so 5 years later,
that was when I first met Frank. That was really to actually talk to him, hold any conversation with him. I never really knew him very well. I knew he lived in King's Langley, which is just down the road. I can't actually say that I knew him as a person. Or even as a friend, because I didn't really know him hardly at all. And it wasn't until we were all together there in that car, don't that? And he and I got talking, and then of course I realised he told me who he was and where he came from and everything, you see. And of course then I met people like Taffy James. That was the first time I met Taffy James there on that car. Jock Gray, he was a dispatch rider. Tommy Baker, he was a corporal then, Tommy Baker was, but he'd been recalled the outbreak of war, you see. All those, so they're all in it. And that's where I first met Frank Reynolds. And,
So moving forward back to when you got back to the battalion in
after. Of course, so.
How many of that cadre were left in the battalion?
Well, those ones that I've, for instance, all those that I've mentioned just now, they were all to do with the signal platoon, you see. There were some others who weren't anything to do with the signal platoon, who were on the cadre. Who were in like some were in the QM stores, some were in the officer's mess, some were in the sergeant's mess. They were all there somewhere.
So there was
I never actually knew them person to person, because in lots of cases that was almost the first time I'd seen them when we came together to go on the card, you see.
So moving back to you got back to the battalion,
yeah,
and you're in Austria. You met Frank Reynolds. What happened then?
Oh yeah, I met Frank. Yeah, well of course you see that's after all my efforts of with the RAMC convoy and running and another. You know that was just what I wanted, and Frank told me that Frank was one of the, there were two advance parties out. Frank was in one of them. Then there was another advance party out, which was in a different, quite a little way away, but they'd come from the battalion. The battalion was in the process of moving up then. They were probably, well, I should think, at that particular night I met Frank Reynolds, they were probably on the train on the way up to Wilden. Well, I say to Wilden because they would have got to the nearest station to Wilden. But the Rhine came to Wilden. That was why Wilden was picked out. They immediately, that was going to be battalion headquarters in Wilden, because they had all the necessary buildings and everything. Everything was absolutely tailor-made for it. So that's why they picked that.
So who did you report to on the battalion?
Well, what happened there, I had to sort of, I sort of went in with Frank. Frank knew his way around a little bit, not much, but he said, well, you better stick with me. He said, we'll get through tonight and get something to eat and that in the morning. He said, I don't know what you're going to have to do then. He said, because I shall have to, he said, tomorrow morning I shan't be here. At least I shall be here, but he said, oh, we've got to start running along with communications out. So he said, goodness knows, only knows what's going to happen to me tomorrow and all the rest of us. And because he had some order signal between there, you see, and I didn't see him putting it over there. And so he said, you'll have to make some decision in the morning. See? So I stuck with them in a billet for the night there with Frank and got through the night okay. And so I said, well, I wonder how long it's going to be before anybody turns up. So I said, well, I think the best thing, he said, is to, he said, it won't be very long. He said, this is in the morning, you see. So he said, it won't be very long before I've got to go. So I said, I think you better stop. Don't go from here. But he said, just wait until, he said, sooner or later you'll see somebody. He said, you won't have to wait long. He said, you'll see somebody. And he said, when you do, he said, you have to make your own decisions then. So I said, okay. So he said, well, so we got, well, Frank picked me up with some breakfast and tea and a sandwich or something, you know. And anyway, eventually he had to shove off, you see. So he said, well, listen, I'll see you later on, he said, but he said, goodness, I don't know where. He said, well, I don't know when at the moment, because he said, I should be all over the place now. So I said, okay then, but I thank him for his trouble. And I made myself comfortable in this. I was in this little back room of the house, it was, you know. And I found myself a seat around the front so I could see what was going on, anybody arriving and anything like that. And nothing happened for a little while, and all of a sudden I saw a 15 underweight truck, and then the 30 underweight truck came in. I knew she would get out of the 15 underweight, but Ken Cave. Well, he'd obviously been sent on, he was ordinary group, right? But he'd been sent on by the ordinary group. The adjutant probably sent him on to get things going, and everybody he had been given his instructions for there, you see. So anyway, he got out of the 15 underweight, so he was surprised to see me there. He said, well, he said, Frank round here. I said, no, he's gone. He just gone. Oh, well, he said, I'll see him now. Anyway, he was surprised to see me, and we had a little chat, you know. And of course, I knew Ken Cave well. And I said, well, I said, you know, you should know. I said, how long is it going to be before we get somebody here? Like, he said, it won't be long now. He said, I think your best bet is to, stay pretty close to here. He said, I'll tell you where I'm going to be. And he said, if you, just in case you want to get lost or anything like that. He said, and then you know where to find me. So he told me where he was going to be. So he said, the best other thing, he said, is to just do what you were doing before, and he said it won't be very long, he said, before people they start turning up. He said you'll probably get some transport in first, and he said hopefully, he said some of that early transport, he said with the best with a bit of luck, he said Peter Griffin may come in, he said they may have sent him on, because you see that the RAP was going to be in the building as well. So
that's the regimental aid post.
Hmm?
The RAP, the regimental
aid post. Yeah, well, some people called it that. We always called it that. I'm not saying it's the right name, but we always did call it that. But some called it the medical station, the medical post. They all had different names for it. It all meant the same thing. And anyway, it was a central point where everybody reported, came to report it. That's where you had to go. And where the medical officer would be. So he said, I think your best bet, he said, would be to do the same as you've done so far. He said, with a bit of luck, he said, mind you, he said, I'm only guessing, but he said, with a bit of luck, he said, you might find that Peter Griffin will be in on some transport or other. And he said, obviously, they're going to have to get their bit going, so he said, that's his best way. He says, I'll tell you where I'll be, and he did. And he said, if you want anything else, he says, just come and give us a shout. So I said, that's fine. So that was it. So all I did then was I just waited, you see. I didn't care, really, because I knew that I was well on the right track.
And then what happened?
So then, as he predicted, the Western transport came in, started to come in a bit more often, and then of course we had the jeeps in, but so we had 15 on the waist and one or two then, and 30 on the waist and that sort of thing, and he was Ken Cove was right. One of the 50 on the waist was had the old Red Cross on the side of it, and it was strictly speaking, it wasn't our transport, but it was something that I suppose they got permission to use it, and they had a lot of their RAP stuff in there. And when that came, I thought, well, I'm bound to know somebody here. I'd know somebody, and it wasn't Peter Griffin; it was John Cordron, as a matter of fact. And so, of course, he got out and we had a chat, and so he told me then that I told him I said I'll have to find the medical officers. He said, well, he won't be out there, he won't be here yet. He said, I doubt whether he'll be able to see him until tonight. So he said, I'll tell you what, I think you better come with me, he said. And then that way, he said, you'll be central. He said, you can either see him first, or else you'll have to report into the order room. But he said, either way, he said, you'll be near. And so I said, he said, you better come with me. So he looked after me then, from then on, and so on, Gordon. So he was directed to where they were going to go, and they had quite a nice place, biggest sort of house place, and they had it all. They started unloading their stuff and one thing and another, and I said, I'll give Andy if you like. So he said, all right. I'll get a cup of tea or something. Oh, of course you will. He says, you can get whatever you want. So that was it. So I stuck with them then, and for more or less, all the rest of the day, right up to late afternoon. And then, I said to him, said to John Corden, I said, well, how long do you reckon Peter Griffin to be? So he said, well, he said, I don't know, he said, but he said, when he arrives, he said, I should imagine he'd have the medical officer with him. So he said, I think it won't be very long, I don't think. Anyway, he said, we're pretty well ready for him. And anyway, early part of the evening, in walked medical officer, Captain Jones, and Billy Griffin. And so, of course, they we started up going and plenty of chat and one thing and another. And the medical officer said, well, he said, I'm not going to bother with you tonight, he said, but I want to have a good look at you tomorrow. He said, have you been to battalion headquarters? I said, no, not yet. He said, well, no use going there now. He said, go there in the morning. He said, first of all, he said, you'll have to see me in the morning. He said, have you got anywhere to stay tonight? I said, no, not yet. So I said, oh, we'll fix you up somewhere here. And then he said, I want to see you in the morning. And then he said, you have to go to the battalion headquarters. He said, in the meantime, he said, I don't know how you're going to do it, he said, but you can get those bloody trousers changed, and I've been trousers in terrible state, to, you know, all that I've been, and I've been terrible dirty, and he said, I don't know what you're going to do, he said, where are you going to get them from? He said, you better have a word with Peter Griffin, he said, perhaps he's got a spare pair, and that might fit you, he said, so, he said, but he said, don't change, he said, you're only disgraceful. He was only joking, really, because I wasn't a bit of a state, you know. Anyway, I saw the night out there, and then in the morning, of course, I saw Peter Griffin when he came, and in the morning, I said to Peter Griffin, I said, did that find me a pair of trousers? I said, the MO's been moaning because mine's in. He said, yeah, they are in a bit of a state, aren't they? He said, I'll find you a pair of trousers. He found me a pair. And so he said, well, he said, we better go and see the MO now. He said, I think he's ready to see you. So I went in and he gave me a real good going over from Jones. And he said, have you got any documents at all? I told him about this RAMC captain and all that. He said, have you got any documents? I said, yes, I've got a letter for you. So I gave him the letter, which I told you this RAMC bloke had given me. He asked me to hand it over to him. And he read this letter and he said, oh, yeah. He said, oh, well, he said, you're going to have to keep an eye on you. He said, you'll be all right. He said, from what I can see of it, you'll be all right. He said, a lot of it's down to you. He said, if you get a chance to, he said, get yourself a bit fit and do plenty of exercise and one thing and another. He said, you're coming from the rifle company. He said, you'll probably have plenty of that. But he said, you'll have to help yourself. And he said, from time to time I shall see you again. He said, I shall certainly see you before you report back to your company again. But he said, everything, so far as I can see now, he said, I haven't done a bad job. He said, according to this letter, you very nearly got on the boat. And he said, I said, yeah, I did. But I said, there we are, I did another one. So anyway, that was okay. I was quite pleased about that. And so my next thing was to all this part of this had been going on. There were all sorts of things been happening outside. You know, people had all arrived and did. And of course, you see, I was in Vilden, and that was all right so far as I was concerned because I was one on my own. But the rest of the companies, you see, A, B, C, and D, all of headquarter company platoons were all in Vilden, mainly in Vilden, and A, B, C, and D were dispersed. Now they were a long way. There was quite a fair distance between them. You know, I'm talking about, well, miles really, 4 to 5 miles in between companies, quiet. But that was, they had to do it that way because they had to find the right sort of accommodation to take in that amount of men. Do you see what I mean? And also, the other thing was that each company would have its own officers and sergeants, and so therefore I had to find a sergeant's mess and an officer's mess for each company. So therefore they had to find the necessary buildings and places to take over in order to put those in, you see. And so they'd done their homework quite well on this. And apparently there were some places earmarked. We, our company, D Company, we weren't the nearest to one building. I think there was one nearer to building than we were. We weren't the nearest anyway, but we were about, I should say, we were about quite 5 miles from building. But it was all on the road, you could get there on the road.
Could you describe how you actually reported to D Company then? You'd gone through the...
Well, what I had to do then, you see, because I didn't know where D Company was going. And what I had to do was, in any case, what I had to do first was I had to go and report in at battalion headquarters, because I hadn't officially done that. And I had no documents. Well, the only document I had was the release document from the transit camp. If you remember, I told you this officer, RAMC officer, got the release documents from the office, and I had those, and I handed them in at battalion headquarters. That was in order. So that was what I had to do anyway.
So who was at battalion headquarters?
Who was that battalion?
Who was there?
There was Ken Cave and all the audio room staff were there. Dougie Wakefield and Knighton, he was a RQMS then. When he came to the battalion, he was a sergeant, but the war establishment allowed them to have a warrant officer there, and he was warrant officer class 3. No, it was class 2. The other one being the RQMS, who was Larry Gaines.
You haven't mentioned reporting to any officers yet, anybody that you've
met? No, I hadn't. Well, it was Captain Jones. And then when I went to battalion headquarters, I first of all had to go in and see them, Ken Cave and the rest of them in there, well, Knighton really, because Knighton is the adjutant's number one man. And then in due course I saw the adjutant. I can't remember who that was now, because that job used to change like the wind. But anyway, I reported there, and then of course I met Thomason. Met up with Thomason, and he was the can't remember the intelligence people. They were there.
And so, were you assigned back to D Company? Did you have a choice?
Oh yeah. I saw the accident, and anyway, he said, he said, of course, he said, you know that Major Duff is not with D Company now. I said, yeah. I said, I don't really know where he is now, but I said, in fact, I don't think I hardly know. So, oh, he said, he's getting on all right. But he said, you won't see him again. So he said, anyway, he said, your company commander will be Major Steed. And he said, your company sergeant major is now Tommy Lucas. He's an old Besson Arts man, and because he's within the original, he was platoon sergeant of the original. No, not the original, but he was a platoon sergeant in Carrier at one time.
So he was another veteran from way back, 1940.
Besson Arts.
From
yeah.
1940, from that era.
Oh yeah, Johnny Lucas, yeah, lived in Bedford. His home was in Bedford, and so he said, you know then, don't you? I said, oh yeah. He said, Captain Gerlin. I said, oh, I said, are you still there? He said, yes. He said, he's a signal officer. I said, oh. Well, of course, I mean, I could remember Gerlin back in Morton Hall. I was Mrs. Patman. So anyway, he said, oh, can you know, Colonel? Yeah, I said, I know him, all right. And I told him, you know. I said, he said, fancy that. So he said, well, he said, you can have a little ride. He said, well, but we'll see to you get some transport. He said, I don't suppose you've got much kit. I said, no, I haven't. And so he said, well, we'll get you some transport, and then you can get in touch with you. He said, mate, tell us where to find them, so that we know where to find you. So I said, I think the best thing I can say is the RAP. He said, oh, he said, I suppose you're messing in with Sergeant Griffin. He said, yes. I said, yeah. Of course, he said, you know him well, don't you? He could have well known that we were. So anyway, that's where I was. So I stayed there until such times as somebody came, eventually came, and I said, oh, there's a truck here to take us out to D Company. He said, I think you're the only one. He said, I don't think there's any more. And I can't even remember who the driver was now, but I knew him, I remember him from being in the MT at Rye, and he was one of the original headquarter company people from Rye, but I can't remember his name. And he said, I was chatting to him on the way out, and he said, oh, he said, you'll be alright, he said, it's not a bad little set up here. He said, I think it's going to be all right. He said, all the companies are fairly well. So they're all quite a long way away from each other, but he said, you can get to them. He said, there's roads and everything. He said, there's no problem. And he said, they all seem to be pretty good to me. He said, I've been to all of them so far. He said, they all seem pretty good. He said, another thing I've heard, he said, is that somebody told me that there's going to be quite a lot of nappy rations issued. He said it's what we should have had a long time ago, but he said we never had them for obvious reasons. We couldn't, weren't in a position to take them, and so he said I've heard. He said that they're going to sort of start dishing them out, and so he said, may well be, he said, that we should come up with some goodies in a little while. And he said, let's hope so. So that's how it was. So then he took me out to D Company, and we were in, we had a, this Major Steve, he was there, I think, I'm not too sure, but I believe that Footer was still hanging around.
That's Giff Footer.
Yeah, I think he was. He never seemed to wander very far from D Company, Footer. He had some spells in other companies at times, but he always seemed to get back to D Company. He was a captain then. Footer was. He was a captain. I believe he came from either the 14th or the 17th battalion.
Yep.
Footer.